Welcome to Dance Specific Talks. This podcast is made for us dancers, and our goal here is to inspire dancers from all over the world to become better, both on and off the dance floor. We want to provide you with a platform where we dancers can share and learn from each other. So let me introduce to you your host for this podcast, T-Sir, and remember as always, by dancers, for dancers.
Welcome back to the first episode after the summer break that we have had here at Dance Specific Talks. Today, I am super excited to announce that we are going all the way to Lithuania as we are meeting the dance artist Camilla.
Yet here I am now, traveling the world, connecting with thousands of people, and also creating safe spaces for myself as well as other people to be our true, honest selves. How is it all connected? I believe my mom gave me a tool which played a huge part in me becoming who I am today. It was just a matter of time until I would realize that dance would bring me closer to understanding my purpose in this life. She gave it to me at the exact right timing, exactly when it was supposed to happen. I also have this huge obsession with timing.
She has been seen in a lot of battles and in a lot of performances. From Lithuania, she has also created this amazing international project called More Than a Human. And we are also going to ask her about her next project, which is to build a community house and retreat center in Lithuania for dancers and artists in general, where they can make collaborations and much more. This season, we're bringing you some extraordinary dancers around the world to cover up what we can do next as dancers moving forward after and during this pandemic. So please stay tuned. Don't forget to subscribe, share your favorite episode. And now let's get it going. Welcome to this interview, Camilla. Wow. I cannot even believe we haven't seen each other for like years. And you were an artist that I had no idea about until you showed up in Sweden. And I was like, how can I have missed this person? Like, yeah, you are a package, dear. You are a whole package of interesting art, personality, feeling. And I think that a lot of people that maybe see you have the same perception, like, wow, what is this? Like, this is so much to take in. And then you talk to you and you're like the most humble spiritual being. And yeah, so thank you so much to come on to this interview.
Thank you for your words. And yeah, thank you for having me. I really, really, really appreciate that.
Yeah,
I am very grateful when somebody actually, you know, takes their time to, you know, to get in touch with me and like to try, like they try to get to know something about me. I think that's very beautiful. So I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. And before I jumped onto this call with you, I kind of scouted through YouTube a little bit and I was like, there's some really cool facts here going on. And for me, you have been a dancer that I knew, like, okay, Lithuania, it's a country that a lot of people don't also know anything about. But then I also got to know that your first dance class was not in Lithuania, it was in Lebanon.
Yep.
And I just, like, I would love to just jump in there and like start somewhere. How come? What happened? Why was that in Lebanon and not in Lithuania?
Well, I actually lived from 7 to 10 in Beirut in Lebanon. My mom took me there. Long story short, she got married. She started, you know, having her life there. So she said, okay, I'm going to take you there with me. And yeah, I ended up there. We left Lithuania super dramatically. You know, they were looking even for us everywhere. Like it was a thing. It was a thing. It's another story for another time. But it was quite of a big change in my life at a very young age. And you know, we moved there and we lived there for 3 years. So I think 1 year into living there, she took me to a ballet class there. And I think it's like you know, I like to say it's kind of like my mom's unfulfilled dream. You know, she wanted to be a dancer, didn't really work out for her. didn't really have her focus on the goal maybe that much. A lot of other things were happening back in the day. So, you know, I was born. She said, hey, let me take you there. So that's how it started. You know, she took me to a ballet class there.
Oh, wow. There's another video where you describe that your relationship with your mother has shaped you in so many ways. Not only that she's your mother, but also that she carried a lot of things with her in the motherhood also when she had you. How yes. has that connection with you and your mother shaped you as a person, and how is it continuously shaping you as a person today?
Right. Well, up till this day, I think, you know, I think we've come a long way, but up till this day, the relationship with me and my mother, it's quite rocky a lot of times. So ever since I was born, there was already things happening around me. You know, I feel like, you know, she has a lot of things that she wasn't able to fully sort out within herself. And I believe, you know, once you already carry a kid a baby in your stomach, right? The baby can feel everything that you're going through. You know, you might not understand exactly what, but you can feel that. And already since I was born, there was a lot of interesting things going on. You know, I've already witnessed a lot of issues from being young. I witnessed a lot of heavy energy, a lot of like struggles from the moment I was born, I believe, that was not only from situations that were happening in particularly at that moment, but something that was, you know, carried from before. And I think over the years, you know, growing up, you know, a lot of times we don't understand what's really happening. We just feel things. Of course, there was a lot of issues within the family. I'm not saying it was all bad. It was a lot of good stuff too. But, you know, we as humans like to get caught up onto the heavy things. And then, you know, usually we get caught up within them. And then we don't really try to figure that part out. And we continue carrying it on our shoulders until it hits us. You know, so I think, you know, growing in an environment which can be pretty heavy, or, you know, unclear, maybe even not so honest at times, you know, it has a huge impact later on your life. That you know, I'm glad I was able to stop for a moment and understand that there's a lot of things I'm carrying within me that are not okay, that are making me worse, that making me not feel okay. And by looking back at one point and actually starting to ask questions, but why do I feel like this? Why, you know, why did my mom feel like this? Why did my grandparents feel like this or act that way? Started giving me some more clearance and, you know, allowed me to enter the space of forgiveness. So I think overall, all this put together, you know, you, if you're willing to, you can learn a lot from it. So no matter, I believe it's not what happened to you, you know, that what happened to you doesn't define you as a person. It's just how you choose to work with the things that happened to you, you know?
Exactly.
So the connection with my mom, I mean, it took me on a journey from, you know, being not only with my mom, I think, of course, my mom in particular, but within, you know, family and society overall, you know, it took me into spaces of not loving myself into finding beauty in everything that I see within and around me, you know, from being super unconfident into building a huge ego sometimes. And then from that ego, realizing that that is also not me. I'm just a simple human being. So there's so much, you know, and it never really ends.
There's layers. There's layers.
Layers and layers. And once you think you figured something out, there's something more that comes up. So now I'm just in that state of mind and in that space where I'm just thinking every day as it is, embracing every moment and allowing myself to learn. It's very hard sometimes it's easier, but it's a never-ending journey. Things I thought I figured out a few years ago,
it's coming back around.
The little the little things within me are, you know, pop up on me at the weirdest moments. And I'm like, wow, what's happening? So it's always this growth, interesting journey.
I think that's so interesting. Like in my belief, we are, you know, born in certain places or in certain situations to maybe, as you say, resolve other things, generational traumas, but also your own spirit's journey. Like it could be, you know, why were you born in this particular country in these circumstances? What is the learning lessons for this lifetime? What do you think, if you could just like think about Lithuania and the culture and also the, you know, the generational traumas that maybe also not just your family but your country has endured during these times, why do you think, what has been the learning lesson for you to maybe be placed where you got placed and brought up?
You know, before I used to, at one period of my life, I took quite a lot of time to think about these things, because I also believe, you know, you end up in places for a certain reason. So I think, I guess for now, I would probably say I'm here to maybe break circles. Unhealthy circles, unhealthy patterns. And, you know, just be, show maybe a way of just being and embracing yourself for who you are with all the good and the bad. I don't believe there's bad. I just believe there's, you know, good or very good, actually, you know, even the bad things are there to teach us something. But I believe I'm just here to, I was placed here probably to see the two different sides, you know, of the, to, you know, to witness the pain, but also to maybe show a way that, you know, through the pain, you can also see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so interesting. Actually, my name means a servant to people. So when I think about that, if I try to really think deeply, maybe it's also to do with that, you know, to just to find a way how to show others a different pathway.
Yeah.
You know, and it's I think it's really about that probably.
Yeah. I think that's really beautiful, because it's like also when you say that, to be a servant of other, it's like a balance, to bring it back to dancing, because we can space away to other dimensions. But to bring it back to dancing, I think that as dancers, we are here, as you say, to do like unique work and show that you can process a lot of things through art and all of this. But you can also sometimes end up people pleasing even within your art and say yes to things that you didn't want to say yes to. And we are also taught as dancers to grab every opportunity, because you don't know what that opportunity is going to lead to, which is true, but it also sometimes make you end up saying yes to a bunch of things that is not authentically maybe you or what you want to do. Have you had any moments like that? And how have you overcome being a people pleaser and still serve the people?
I can't really, I've been there. I still am there sometimes. I think it would be a big lie if I say I've did this and I've done that. And, you know, I've overcame something. I think I've overcome things to a certain extent. You know, I've been in a lot of positions within myself where I wanted to quit dancing, where I was trying to prove myself to everyone and everything, you know, and that also comes because of the way I was, you know, growing up. You know, you try to be everywhere, take, as you said, take every opportunity, thinking, okay, that might be the key to, you know, to my kingdom of expression. You know what I mean? So I think in the beginning it's absolutely fine to allow yourself to try. Even up till now, I think it's important to continue trying different things and allowing yourself to take these different opportunities. I don't believe in I think it's good to have one goal that you're going for, but I think it's also important not to, you know, focus just on that, but allow yourself to go on these little roads once in a while, because you never know how, what it can bring you, but also what of an impact it can have for you reaching that bigger goal, you know?
Mm.
So of course I had so many times I actually wanted to quit dancing because of the pressure I created for myself, because of the pressure I felt from other people. But you know, it's always this space of like, was it me thinking they're, you know, putting pressure on me, or is it actually me just not trusting myself and thinking, you know, whatever. So, you know, I went through that space of like trying to become something bigger. Also, you know, the ego comes in where you want to be seen, you want to be the one, but what is the one? There's too many of us to be the one. So I think at a certain point I started just like listening a little bit more and a little bit more to what is it that I really want to express. And even then, when I started like kind of feeling that, you know, this is what I want to say, I would still go into spaces that I maybe didn't really feel too comfortable, but I do take them as a part of the experience, as a part of the growth process, right? But at one point, you know, I felt like, okay, it's enough. It's enough, you know? I still allow myself when my heart tells me that it's okay, especially right now I'm in that space where I'm already starting to be like, okay, do I really want to do this other thing, or am I just doing it for some other reason? So I got to the space of actually double checking with myself, because before I would just kind of push through it, you know, yeah, I'll try this. But now I'm more in a space where I'm like, okay, like I, my heart and my health and my mental state is important, and I don't want to be overdoing it, because I felt like when I've noticed that when I'm doing too many of other things that don't really fulfill me as much, they still fulfill me because I'm just that kind of person, but you know, it's not to that extent that really helps me grow. Because I felt like, for example, I would take a certain opportunity and I would be so drained out after that I'm not able to even continue with what I would like to do. So you know, I started to like even more listen to my body and my mind and my heart, and just, you know, just double check, why am I doing all these things? And if it feels right, I continue. If it doesn't feel right, I do really try to take a step back.
Yeah.
But because we're used to saying yes, especially like, oh, yes, because we, as you said earlier, like we have this, you know, idea of like, I have to take everything in order to make it, basically, you know, it's still hard. But, you know, we gotta understand that in the end of the day, there's we gotta keep space for ourselves, for our own expression, and just like, you know, not overwork it to a certain point that we get burnt out and are not able to do anything at all. Yeah. Just find a little balance. And that comes from listening to yourself and having continuous conversations.
Yeah. Because I was thinking like, you know, another thing is usually the stress of like, as a dancer, if you don't take all these opportunities, how are you going to make a living out of being a dancer and not continuously feeling like you have to take all these other type of jobs, just so that you can say that you're living out of dance. And right. And it's like it's a kind of, as you say, like a balance thing where, okay, maybe I don't want to teach 20 classes per week, but you know, how am I otherwise? Then I otherwise have to take another job just to support my creative flow. How have you throughout your career as a dancer balanced this thing when it comes to like, you know, financially going around and still keeping the creativity?
I wouldn't say I'm really balanced in that topic, if to be really honest with you. Yeah. I'm not really that balanced. But I also don't struggle as much with that thought of needing money and the idea of I need money to survive you know, thought. Of course, you know, like for me, sometimes I live better, sometimes I don't have anything. But at this point, like my values and my needs have changed over the years. Yeah. I don't need as much as I needed when I was a teenager trying, you know, to survive.
Yeah.
The things that I thought I needed then, I don't really need them now.
Mm.
Of course, it's a struggle sometimes. Sometimes I do get really annoyed. I'm like, how do I make it? Like, I had a huge conflict with me and teaching. For example, I don't really like to be called a teacher. That's my first trigger point. Second thing is, I was like, everybody's a teacher these days. I get it on a daily basis. Everybody is a teacher. But, you know, am I even, what makes me the right person to teach, for example? And then the money comes in. Am I doing it because I love doing it? Or is it because it brings me, it is a space that brings me the most income?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for me, it's been, especially the last few years, it's been a hard conversation. Conversation. So I try to learn, you know, I try to also, you know, how do you value, like the value you put on yourself? I think this is a big topic that we as dancers struggle. Yeah. You know, I'll give you a private for €5. And it's okay because we all want to help a lot of times, but because we needed that help too, and maybe nobody helped us, or maybe somebody actually helped us, so we want to return. So it's like, it's such a big conflict all the time. And, you know, I struggle with it until now. Mm. It's not something figured, but I've set my intentions, and I do try to manifest daily the direction that I want to go. So for me, I said, you know what, I'd rather struggle with money doing something I really love. And it's not talking, dance, let's put that way. But within dance, there's performance, there's teaching, there's, you know, choreographing, blah, blah, blah. So I have certain aspects that I really want to do within dance. So I said, you know what, I'm going to try and focus on that and see what happens. Instead of draining my energy, like, I'm not that person to give 20 classes a week. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
I don't have that space.
Yeah.
I cannot do that.
No.
So I had to find a balance. How can I give enough classes to get some sort of like financial support, but also be honest whilst I'm doing it?
Yeah.
Because I really don't feel good if I'm giving classes just for money, just for survival. That does not make me feel good. And I've done that sometimes, but it is horrible. It is horrible, and I cannot go to sleep after that. So I do not want to do this. So I'd rather struggle a bit more, and hopefully a better day comes.
Yeah.
But I will try, you know, I'm really trying hard to just continue focusing as much as I can. I still do take sometimes certain opportunities because it does bring some financial income. But I do try to do it less, you know. Yeah. I don't have a fear of not having so much money.
Yeah.
You know, I can eat the same one meal every day. Like, I'm okay with that. You know, like it's. But, you know, I don't know. You just
keep going.
Conversate. Keep going. Conversate with yourself. I don't want to say it's a continuous struggle, but it's a struggle that I think for everybody individually will take time to be figured, even if it ever will be figured out, you know? So,
yeah, because it's like, I keep coming back to that question, like, if money wasn't an issue, if you didn't have to think about it at all, what would you do? You know?
Right.
And if I say that question to you, like, if you didn't right now or in the next coming future, didn't have to worry at all, what would be where your heart would go? Is it more performances, creating things, dancing yourself, doing retreats? Where are, like, you know, where's your heart going?
I would just perform.
Yeah.
I would perform. I love performing and I love creating.
Mm.
You know, I love creating. Then I would probably, you know, even because I would be like, I'm already like going on that pathway doing that. So it's just like another confirmation for myself that I really love doing that. I would still give classes. I would probably still kind of do most of the things that I do, but I would just wouldn't need to pay my rent, is it?
Yeah.
I would have, you know, if somebody paid my rent for me and, you know, and yeah, bought my dog some food, I would be good, you know.
But that's a great confirmation that you're doing what you want to do. Like if you're actually having exactly the same life right now, and you know, that's great. That's amazing.
Like I you know, sometimes the struggle gets to me, but I also allow myself to be within that struggle and find ways how to, you know, go through it.
Mm.
Let's put it that way. Mm. You know, some days I wake up, I'm like, oh my God, I'm broke. I have to do so many things. I have to do da 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 da. And then, you know, you vent a little bit, you stress, you call your friends and say like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't want to dance anymore. I need to find something. And then my friends are like, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, of course not. So I said, I just needed to vent, you know. Of course I know that I'm not going to go and start doing something else because I love dancing.
Yeah.
I love dancing, but even before dancing, I just love life no matter what's happening in that life.
Yeah.
You know, so if money is the thing that we're constantly stressing about, I don't think it's not worth stressing over that. Something will always work out.
Yeah.
You just gotta try, you know, you gotta stay creative. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. I love that. I love that. I also think it's so like one of the things I recycled from your Instagram was a very beautiful question, which was like, what do you hear when you are listening to yourself? And I wonder, what did you used to hear back in the days? And what are you hearing now that is different when you're listening to yourself?
Mm. Back in the days, I'm not that old. Back in the days. you know, from very young age, I had this like thought within me that I would hear and say, is like, this can't be it. This can't be it. There must be something better coming. And, you know, I used to manifest already from quite like I didn't know it was manifesting, but I used to visualize things as a kid already. I visualized myself performing. I visualized myself traveling. I visualized myself doing all sorts of things. Maybe they're not right now. They're not exactly the same that I imagined it back then, but it was about the same thing. So I visualized, and I remember I told myself already when I was like 13, maybe around that age, I said, like, I don't need Lithuania. I want the whole world. Like I would put things in like this in my head, even though sometimes I didn't believe in myself, but I would just like, I would write my diary. I would write all the horrible things that I'm feeling. And then at the end, I would write, I will make it. I will prove myself and everyone else that I can make it. And I'll be better and bigger. And, you know, I'm going to reach the whole world and da, 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 da. Now I don't really need the whole world anymore. I just need me and, you know, and just good people and good energy and bad people sometimes. Because again, there's no really bad people. They're just, they're, you know, experience that got them to a certain place that they might act in a certain way, right? So back then I visualized, I used to hear this voice in my head and inside me saying, you know, there must be more. Just don't give up. You're strong. You know, there is something special about you. Like I would hear this. Of course, there would be a lot of fearful voices within me, you know. Very rebellious voices. But I wouldn't really say a lot of that changed. It just got a different tone to it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even I would probably say sometimes slightly calmer tone, sometimes even louder than ever. Every day is different, you know? Because, like as I said, I like to have conversations with myself on a daily basis. And, you know, each moment when you really listen to yourself, you hear different things, you know, and that's something super important. And I feel like a lot of us move through life without actually really listening to what's happening in there. That's why we avoid a lot of blessings. We do not allow ourselves to see the little things because we don't listen what is in there, because we feel like, okay, I have this, I need more, you know. Oh, we start comparing ourselves to each other. We start, you know, like not always feeling like we're not enough or we don't have enough, or, you know, we hear other people's opinions within rather than hearing what is it that we actually feel about ourselves or who we really are. So, and even if there are horrible things within you whilst you're listening to yourself, like, it's good to listen to them so you can actually figure it out and, you know, change it.
Instead of like pressing that, like,
yeah,
pressing it down. Yeah. Because it's going to come out some way or another in destructive ways, you know. Yeah.
And it will make it worse.
Yeah.
We do have a chance. We might not have a choice to fix everything around. And you know what? We shouldn't. We cannot change the whole world. We really can't. You know? Yeah, maybe we can't even change the situation around us in our room, you know, the people around us in our family, but you can start with little changes of how you react to things. And this has been one of my lessons for the last year or two. Yeah. You know, it's how I react. So I choose to listen, especially when something comes up. Like, I am actually like now, like, taking my moment and be like, okay, what are you saying? Yeah. Sometimes it's not pleasant.
Yeah. I think it's super important. And I think I also love your obsession with timing. I like that. I loved it when you said that in this path video that you have. Everyone should check that out on YouTube, by the way. You said that you have an obsession with timing. Yeah. Why do you think, we can start with the timing of this realization. Why do you think that 1 or 2 years ago that you started to come into this thing of how am I reacting to things? That's where I can start. That's where I can start my change. What is the timing of that, do you think? Why is that happening now?
I think it's a lot of events leading up one to the other. But for me, I think it's just, there's a time for everything. Let's put it that way. Whatever happened, that was the moment, and that moment led into something else. So until then, a lot of moments led me into actually realizing, into, you know, checking myself, that I need to check myself, that, hey, why is it that you react that way? Oh, you actually have a choice how you choose to react, and that and that and that, et cetera, right? So I think there's not really one answer. I cannot give you one answer, because I think everything leads, you know, from one step into the other. But I just genuinely believe I would never change, for example, anything that happened in my life. Never. As a teenager, yeah, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Oh, I wish my life would be different. But if my life would be different, I wouldn't be the same Camila as I am right now. And I value what I am. I value what I am. I value my place on this earth. And I value every single experience that I went through in this life. And that is because of a certain time in my life. Right? And honestly, every time something happens, something intense happens, right? A few years later, I start to notice, I understand why that happened that way. It makes sense. Now I'm going to do it differently. Oh, now it led me to this. So every time, I like to really, not like reevaluate, is that the word? evaluate. Like, it's not that I sit every day and evaluate of, you know, what happened today, what happened yesterday, what happened throughout my whole life, but I do check on myself.
Mm.
I try to pay attention to the little things, the little connection between all these different events of life, all these different moments, right? And how are they all connected? And when I sit down and think about things, I was like, what? That makes sense. For me, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
Every choice that I made before made sense, whether it was a horrible one in that particular moment. Yeah, but if I didn't make that choice, once again, I wouldn't maybe understand certain things. But also, I think I feel very grateful that, again, I had the moment of that I always felt that there's something more. You know, I never felt like, oh, this is where I am right now. It's that is it. So I think that's what allowed me to see these events, see this connection, see, witness, and notice the importance of the timing of each event, you know?
Yeah, beautifully said. It's like everything that happens also prepares us for the next chapter. And so it's all learning lessons or a preparation time for the next to come.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like your dancing has this rawness to it. Not only like when people see you, you're already communicating a lot with your body because you do have like a lot of art on your body as well. Nothing. What was it that you said? No tattoo is actually about dance on your body, but you have a lot of pieces telling people something about you before they even get to know you.
Yeah.
What has your body art, what role has that played in you expressing yourself?
You know, I was actually like a kid when I started. Recently, I've told this story to quite a few people, you know, with the art on my body, right? I was a kid, 6, 7, something around that time. I think it was just before I moved. No, after or before I moved to Beirut, around that timing. I cannot really recall it right now. But I used to stick this fake tattoos from chewing gums on my body.
Mm.
And I would rock it. I would feel so good. I would stick them up on everywhere. I have even a picture somewhere. I just cannot find it. And already then I felt like this will be my way of expressing.
Mm.
I like this. Like, I didn't feel like, you know, this just like this emptiness on my skin is right. I feel like there should be something on it, some drawings. I used to like drawing on myself and like these things. So I just felt like I'm like a canvas, you know? Mm. And if we have such a thing in the world, like ink,
yeah,
then it means there's an opportunity and possibility to actually allow yourself to be that canvas, you know, and paint on this body. Of course, people say it's painful, this and that. Why would you do this to your body? Of course, I went through so many stages of people, even up till this day, sometimes in the street coming up to me and saying, ugh, sick person. You know, like I get a lot of different responses, you know. Yeah. Oh, you know, before people used to only get tatted when they were in prison.
Mm.
Yes, I did my research about me. No.
Yeah.
I am not from prison.
Yeah. But also, you know, like how every tribe around the world, for history, ancient times have always done this. Yeah.
So for me, it's again like, you know, like for me, every time I put something on my body, it's like it has something to do with a moment in my life, with a certain part of, you know, of like a feeling or an experience or my life story that I feel like I want to just have it there so I can maybe remember whilst looking at my skin. Because sometimes I look at certain things that I forgot that I got inked. And then I look at it, I was like, oh, you know what? Stay grounded. You know, like it's kind of like a nice little notebook for myself.
Yeah.
Even, that's, you know,
beautiful.
I think it's amazing. Of course, I see the, I understand people now want to book you for your looks, for your ink. The more ink I get, the more people are interested in booking me for photo shoots. Great. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Mm.
But this is still, apart from it being, you know, interesting or, you know, or beautiful, there's still a person behind that.
Yeah. And you're more than a human.
And then I'm more than a human. I'm more than my ink.
Ooh. So let's talk about let's talk about more than a human. Let's talk about this project. What is more than a human? If you would describe it to someone who's never heard about it, what is it? How did it come alive? And what is your vision for it coming forward?
More than a human is my little baby. A baby about human beings. Let's put it that way. You know, and actually it doesn't have one clear vision. And that's what I like about it. It started from me walking in the streets of New York because I just simply didn't have money to travel. I was walking from Times Square to Bronx. And I just, you know, said, you know what? Why shouldn't I just stop and compliment people and say, you know what? They have beautiful eyes, and then just take a picture of them and write them. Oh, this is, you know, I don't know, Alex, and he has beautiful eyes. It literally was just that. And I remember people were a bit confused at the beginning. And then I went into another, because I felt like, how often do actually people embrace these little things about themselves? And also, how often do we each other, we tell each other compliments, or just like, not only when you're dressed nice, I'll tell you that you're dressed nice, but you know, I just see you and wow, the smaller things, right? So it started from that. And I remember I went into this one thrift store. I saw this guy with beautiful curly hair. And I went in there and I said, hi, you have beautiful curly hair. I saw it outside through the window. I said, wow, thank you. You got so happy, you know? And I said, I have this project. No project is there yet, but I said, I have a project. At that time, it was called More Than a Woman, More Than a Woman, More Than a Man. And I said, I have this project, you're the first one on this project. Can I take a picture of you and write something about you? And he got so happy. So it started from that, you know, just complimenting people. And then, you know, the more I would start random conversations, the more things I would find out, the more I would learn. Like, you know, I remember I told one girl something about, you know, her hair or something. I don't exactly remember right now. It is on my Instagram, on the More Than a Human Instagram. And, you know, she complimented me back. And then we had this such a beautifully, beautiful flowing energy that we started speaking about so many interesting things. And, you know, it turned out that girl has just, you know, saved her mother from suicide. You know, and it's just like, bam, out of nowhere. But she, you know, we went there and it was so, wow. You know, you would never know. You would never know. And it's not about me trying to help her there. I cannot help her. But just that little conversation did something.
Yeah.
You know, it taught me something. It might have taught her something and helped her. So we went from that. So we really went into just, you know, embracing humans and their stories worldwide. Now I've taken on the last year a bit of a break because I needed space for myself. And also we were supposed to do a festival.
Yeah.
But because of COVID, it got canceled. You know, but I was just like a year into the project. I was doing monthly events in Lithuania, dedicating each month to a different style. Where my goal was to actually bring different styles, different communities, let's put it, into one space, because you know, you dance this, I'm not really into it, okay, so I'm not gonna come. But actually all we do is we all share the same love for dancing, right?
Yeah,
it's just some belief systems.
Yeah, exactly.
If I don't have to like something, you know, but I still respect it.
Yeah.
And that's why that's what for me it was about. It's not about, you know, if you think differently, it means you're wrong or you're bad. No, it's just you think differently. So for me, that was also a process of learning this.
Yeah.
And now we're buying a house.
Exactly. Because that was going to be my next question. You have this thing on your Instagram where it's like, buy a house to build a community. And I checked out the video and suddenly you have like this amazing nature and there's this house in the middle of it. And I just want you to tell me like, what is the vision here by buying a house out in nature?
Yeah. You know, I it's a vision, a seed that I planted in my mind long time ago. I just always imagined having a space where, you know, people would come and just be, you know, as a teenager, I imagined a dance house, but now I don't care. It's just an art space, you know, just a place to be where you can really, if you need a runaway, you can run away somewhere, you know, if you need a residency for a week to create with some other people, you can go there, you know. And what can be better than being surrounded by nature?
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I shared this one day randomly. A friend of mine came. She used to also live in London. So we knew each other from a long time. And she just recently came back and we reconnected. So I, you know, she came to my place and I just felt it. I really go a lot of times by the feeling. Mm. That's why I do everything that I do. I feel I do.
Mm.
And sometimes it's a good thing, you know, sometimes it can be, you never know, but it's just me as a person. I just do. I don't have this, there is me, you know, I have this sensation in me, well, I have nothing to lose.
Mm.
If I don't try, I won't know.
Yeah.
You know? So I shared it to her. I said, oh, imagine this. And, you know, she said, oh, yes, me too. She's really into also like community work, you know. She's been to Colombia. She was helping out there, like doing all this nice stuff. And she said, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this together. And we started looking for a house. We looked at abandoned places. Then I went on these pages. I just said, maybe we don't need an abandoned house, but we need just a little like a house somewhere by a lake. Maybe they sell it because we have a lot of summer houses here.
Yeah.
And I come and I see this place. I saw another place, but they didn't respond. And then I saw this one. I wrote them an email saying, hey, we won't be able to pay this straight away. But, you know, with the support of other people, maybe we can make it in the next, I don't know how long.
Yeah.
I told them my vision. They didn't respond. But then I called them the next day. I woke up. It's like, call them. And I called them and I, you know, they pick up. It's like, wasn't it you that wrote us? I said, yeah, it's me. So what is your plan? And I told them everything. We ended up being on the phone for like 40 minutes.
Wow.
We met up like a week later. I met up with them. Agla, my friend, couldn't make it. So I went up. She trusted me. Mm. She really just, she just like, you know what? You say so. If you feel like it's right, it's right. So she trusted me. It's amazing. It's incredible. And, you know, we met the owners. They put the price down a little bit. They put it down a little bit. And then, you know, we just have a nice connection. They really support what we're doing. So, you know, next week we're already getting the keys.
So it's already bought?
No, we still have quite a lot to raise.
Yeah.
So we paid the deposit. Yesterday we paid another amount that we were able to gather. We still need quite a lot, but, you know, we're going to try and pay it off in the next year. So if one month we get more donations and we make more money, we pay maybe if 2,000, you know, if we get more, we pay more in a month. If we get less, we pay less. So they're willing to wait and help us.
That's amazing.
But already this month, we're going to be able to come in there, fix up, clean the place. And, you know, next spring, we're going to be able to open it up to others.
Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, we're working on a website, you know, and it's really about this because people are like, yeah, but who can come there? I said, anyone really. You just send us an email, you tell your ideas, we can host events there, little events, not huge. It's not, you know, I mean, the nature around is big, so we can host for sure big events.
Yeah.
But we can do little things. We can have workshops in an open air. You can have residences, couch surfing.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to just leave the city for a day. Come. Yeah. If we're there, come.
Yeah. You know? House surfing.
Yeah, house surfing.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. That's so amazing.
It's about this. So yeah, we're definitely still asking people to support us, you know, and
yeah.
As we're saying, it's, you know, the support that we get is it's not for us, it's for everyone.
Yeah.
because of this support, we're going to be able to host everyone as much as we can.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way, you know? So yeah, it's amazing.
I hope that you could be able to have some events and fund some money also throughout events and stuff like that. Because what a magical place to come. And also for people maybe from abroad to experience Lithuania's nature, because a lot of people don't know a lot of things about this country. And it has this untouched nature in so many ways that people don't know about.
The nature here is amazing. It's very green. It's very green. It's very beautiful. Yeah. I think, I have a lot of love for the nature here. Yeah. I think that's what keeps me here as well. Mm-hmm. I love a lot of other things. You know, 10 years ago, today is 10 years when I left to UK at 16.
Wow.
And my best friend sent me a message. She said that was the saddest day of her teenage life.
And you're like, it was one of the most important days of my life to leave.
It was very important. It was very sad too.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I'm back. But then I said I never visualized myself coming back to Lithuania.
Yeah.
Now I'm good. I'm really enjoying. No, don't know for how long, but I feel like there, you know, the question you asked, like, why were you placed here?
Yeah.
I think the reason why I was placed and born in Lithuania maybe are happening. The reasons are coming up right now in everything that I do right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that too. Like, I left Sweden 3 years ago to live in Amsterdam. And there is some things that I look back at now that I'm like, oh my gosh, blueberries, like from the forest and stuff that I just took that for granted. Not that I went out every year to pick blueberries when I had a chance, but there's the mushroom and the fruits and the berries, and like just to be able to go to a lake and be there by yourself. Right. You know, like that.
Are you still in Amsterdam?
Yeah, man. We love it here too. It has another charm to it. But just these, it's like these things that like, oh, you know, I feel very Swedish in so many ways, because I'm like realizing how much of that is meaningful now when I go back and I visit it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, mom, can we just go to the lake? Like, we would never do that before. So yeah. Oh man, like this has been such a beautiful talk, and I feel like we have touched on everything around dancing. You're an incredible dancer. There, as I said before, there's something so raw about you. And I kind of also just want to finish off with asking, what are some things that, you know, you still want to do? Things that you haven't done yet, except building a community house and doing all of that. Is there something with your dancing that you also look forward to explore more about?
There are quite a lot of things. But I'm really, in this moment of life, I am really looking to perform more. Looking to continue certain paths that I started a few years ago, like with my, I don't know if you've seen, I had an 8-hour performance that I did. So I want to continue on that. Yeah, on that pathway towards like more experiment, like mind exploring and very experimental performances that really, you know, go deeper into human's mind. Mm. And, so I really want to go further with that and, you know, just explore, just be, just express. I think this is what I'm about. This is what my dance is about. It's simply unsimple.
Simply unsimple. I love that. That could be a concept of its own.
Yes. Expression, storytelling. I will continue with that. In whatever and everything that I do, you know? And then the community house and just whatever life brings me, really.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Just be, you know, and hopefully be there with many other people.
Yeah.
You know? Just be together.
So in the end of my interviews, I always say, you know, like, where can people find more information about you? Is there anything you want to send out there to people listening? Anyone you want to love bomb? The mic is yours.
Well, I think, I just want to remind people to be honest with themselves in every aspect possible, you know, just be honest with yourself, feel everything that you're feeling, experience everything fully that you're experiencing, and just, you know, take your time within the process.
Camilla _ take your time.
On Instagram, that's where you can find everything else. But yeah, just allow yourself to live, you know, live. I would, you know, probably just that, just live, you know, and enjoy every moment, but also remember that every moment is a moment and every moment passes. So just, you know, live in the moment right now and just allow yourself to create things. Don't wait for things, create things right now.
I love that. Thank you. That motivates me now. It motivates me to grab this day and to do something with it, this beautiful Sunday.
Thank you. But also rest. Yes. Also rest. Go to sleep. If you don't have anything to do, don't feel like it's bad. Just go take a freaking nap. It's good for you.
Nap advocate, Camilla. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being so open and transparent and sharing your thoughts. I love these conversations. These are my favorite types of interviews where you can just flow with another. So thank you for allowing me to be in your space, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Really, really appreciate that. And it's actually really nice that we got to talk. Hopefully we can do it again.
Yes. Hopefully I can come and visit your house. Yay.
Ooh, everybody's welcome.
Yay. And go and donate.
Yes, and go donate. Please support or just come and help us fix up the place. You know, you can find more information about that on the more.bam.a.human Instagram. Voila.
Yes, voila. Bum, 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 bum.
Don't forget to click subscribe, comment below, and give us a rating or review. We have a Facebook page, YouTube page, and we are on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and all the other podcast platforms. We also have an Instagram, so don't forget to tag us in your favorite episode and share it with the world, because we read all of it.